It's the Sonic Discovery Show with host James O. Poetry and pop. Words with jazz.
The following program has been pre-recorded from an earlier broadcast.
I have to beg to differ. The following program is live, and it's 8:02, and I'm James O., and I'm on the Sonic Discovery Show, and I have a guest on the line, and I was planning to talk to him. I heard him, but he couldn't hear me. But hey, how about I just turn on the phone? We are on the air. The phone line is open, and my question to you, Mr. Mark Lippman, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I am, James. Very good to hear your voice, and thank you so much for inviting me to speak with you on Voices of the Valley. It's great to be here.
Yes, and yes, this is the Sonic Discovery Show, our new tagline for the entire radio station, which is the only radio station in Sonoma Valley, not the only one in the county, but really we are the community-supported radio for the Valley of the Moon, otherwise known as Sonoma Valley. And I know you know Sonoma. You mentioned you'd be up in this area pretty soon, but you've just been traveling for, how many thousands of miles?
Oh, wow. Well, we've already crossed 8,000 miles in total. I started off on May 1st in Haverhill, Massachusetts, where I launched from. And from there, we went all the way down to New Orleans, up to Chicago, over to Yellowstone, down to Denver, then Albuquerque, across to Los Angeles. I'm up in the Bay Area now. I'll probably be here for the next couple weeks. And then I'm heading all the way up the coast, Portland, Seattle, and I can't forget Skagway, Alaska, where I've got a reading in August. So I've got a busy schedule and a lot of miles ahead of me still.
Wow. Can I ask where your home base is? Is it New Hampshire or Maine?
Well, the home base where I launched from is Haverhill, Massachusetts. It's up in Essex County. Really, Essex County is the birthplace of poetry for the United States, in case you didn't know. And I'm originally from the area. I settled from there on May 1st, and now my home base, so to speak, is my bus furtherer, which I'm traveling around the country with right now. Like I said, we just completed 8,000 miles on the road. We've connected with hundreds of poets, done at least 30, 40 events already in multiple states across the country. It's just been an amazing tour, connecting community after community on the themes of peace and building a vision for a better world for all of us.
That's what we're doing. That's what you're doing. That's what I'm doing. And that's what we're doing together. And I'm just so thrilled to know that you are there and you're meeting so many people. And right now we're meeting, I don't know, a couple thousand people. We extend our airwaves over the whole, about half of the county, not way out to the coast. But then, of course, there's KSVY.org, and we stream to the whole world. And we definitely have several hundred regular listeners from many states and even other countries. So glad you're here. And I want to focus just a little bit, if I may, on beat poetry. Because, as our friend Steve, who writes but doesn't write poetry, at least none that he shares. And as a person who loves poetry and loves to read it, but I don't really write it either. There's so much great poetry that I read and read aloud that I never really take my own stuff seriously. But, poetry in some ways is even more diverse than literature because, of course, you know, it's not confined to sentences and paragraphs and chapters. It can be structured so many ways and so many speeds and tones and I'd like you to. I'm going to give you an impossible assignment. Describe or define beat poetry.
Oh. Well, just as there are so many poets, there are so many voices to go along with that. And I've asked this question so many times myself of other poets. And what it really boils down to is it is your voice. It's finding your connection to the it. And whether that be as the throwaway line that Jack Kerouac used, of the Beat Generation, it's like he took it from the African American culture. His beat is you're beating down, but then there's also the jazz poetry that they brought in. So there's the beat of the music, and there's the beat in current with your times also.
Yes.
And so there's many ways to define beat, but as a poet who is in tune with the beat. How I look at it is that we must be voices of the times in which we live. If we're not connected to the moment, then we can't call ourselves beats.
Beautiful, beautiful. And actually, I have read, I think, at least one of your poems from your website. And, you know, as you say, it's they're not actually meant. I mean, they're documented certainly on the page, and that's a very important thing. But really, beat poetry comes to life in when you state it. So, would you grace us with a poem, or did you have one ready?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this program here because this is almost a coming home for me, because you don't know this until just now, and it's great to share this with all your listeners that I actually wrote. My first, what I would consider important poem in Berkeley, California, and it was after spending the weekend with Lawrence Ferlinghetti and Joyce Jenkins with the Watershed Poetry Festival, and I believe it was the Sonoma Poetry Festival in Petaluma, and right after that, I wrote what I consider my first political poem.
Dig.
Called The Beaten Generation. They were great, not because of what they said, but by how they were able to connect so fully with the pulse of their generation and transform all that into words. But when I placed my hand into the wrist of today, I would swear that my world was dead. Conformity has sucked the marrow out of life and replaced it with lead. Why, you ask, are there no great poets today? Because I tell you, society has made it that way. If we are all plastic molded into the same Ken and Barbie dolls, individualized only by our accessories, how are we even going to know when there's something worth standing up for? How can someone write like a poet if they don't have the courage to live like one? How can you feel anything if you don't possess an independent thought in your head? Real is no longer real. Money is real. Commercialization has sold reality to the mass market at half the price. Millionaire tourists in space and skydiving to the North Pole. Greenpeace is corporate. Where did all the heroes go? Corporate sponsorships have sold us all down the drain. Now awake, I'm afraid. How can you fight when you don't even know what's worth fighting for? Hollywood feeds us what they want us to know. Reality TV continues to grow, giving us prepared life for more profits than they ever dreamed of. How can any minds be opened if they deny us the keys, criminalize what's too dangerous for public consumption, but let all the tobacco barons go free? Anheuser Bush will destroy us if given the chance. Just watch out. The world is getting smaller every day. Developers are only in business for one thing. But don't worry about destroying the earth. It will survive just fine without us. September 10th, 2001.
September 10th, 2001?
That was the day before. I was sitting on the lawn of Berkeley at the university when I wrote that. I had a reading for my first novel that I was going to be presenting that night. The next morning was 9/11. I cried all day after seeing what happened because I knew right away we were going into war. But the next day I started organizing with the students in Berkeley, and within 9 days we had 43 universities across the country organizing an anti-war movement. And it was a moment that shaped my destiny as a poet, because at that moment, I knew that this was the course of my life. But I had written about how George Bush would destroy us if given the chance just the day before.
Oh, that's great. I was driving to work. And you know, it's funny listening to you. I feel like I'm simultaneously you know, the voice of that generation and a victim of that generation. I'm not either. I'm not polarized. But I did become a park ranger. I've been a federal. Some people would call me a bureaucrat. I call it a public servant. But 40 years now, and you know, I write words every now and then. But what it takes, of course, is time. You know, what it takes is dedication. What it takes is, you know, the energy. And yeah, my job is talking, but you know, history and nature and, you know, parks and we do hard history, and that's important too. Right now that's being, you know, indirectly attacked by our administration. You don't say anything bad about America. It's like, no, it's our flaws that have made us the country we are, you know, and we need to remember all of those. Yes, of course, you know, the presidents and the wars and even the civil rights laws, but those were just part of the equation, part of this amazing, you know, experiment we're in. So that's so great. And I it's funny because, you know, I went to Berkeley, but I was there in the 80s, not 2001, but I had to pull over on Highway 37, just south of Sonoma, and cry. I couldn't actually, I couldn't drive, but just the thought of the war coming. And it's basically never ended since then, you know.
It's never ended.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and
you touched on something, James, that is vital to not just our work as poets, but as human beings, is time. Without our time, nothing else is possible.
That's true.
And once we realize that time is more valuable than any amount of money, any possession that we can have, because you can't get your time back.
Right. It's an arrow. It's in one direction.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny how it's so often said, you know, by historians or storytellers or even influencers, blah, blah, blah. If you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it. But on the other hand, if you don't have the time to think about what that history means to you now and means to everyone now, and actually means different things to different people. So the only way to find, you know, community, common ground, etc., is to talk, is to read, is to write, and yeah, communicate. Thank you for that, Mark. It's a couple minutes more before a break. And if you can stay right through a 3-minute break, we can keep going. But I did want you to plug, you know, this is a chance to actually meet you and some other poets, not just at the Beat Museum in a week and a half, but in what, tomorrow night, I believe.
Yes, we have a wonderful event that we put together with a group of very powerful local poets. It's going to happen at the Adobe Bookstore on 24th Street in the Mission tomorrow evening at 7 p.m., and the title is called The Border Crossed Us. This comes from an anthology that I published 10 years ago, which won the International Latino Book Award, connecting the Justice for Palestine movement with immigration justice in the United States. And we're doing a solidarity reading for both of these issues that are so vitally important tomorrow evening at Adobe Bookstores on 24th. I believe it's 3130, don't quote me on that, or 24th Street in the Mission. Then, as you said, on the 18th, that's Friday the 18th, we're going to be doing, again at 7 p.m. at the Beat Museum. We have an incredible lineup of just great voices there, including our former San Francisco Poet Laureate, Tongo Eisen Martin, will be there. My partner in verse, great poet that I've been working with for 15 years now, Matt Sadia from Los Angeles, is going to be up. We've got poets that I've worked with in the Bay Area for the last, couple decades now that are going to be there. And we have the California Beat Poet Laureate, Ron Myers, who's going to be joining us. So that is going to be a night of fiery words happening at the Beat Museum. So you definitely want to be there. And I will have my bus Furtherer there as well.
Furtherer, of course, Ken Kesey had Further. So yeah. So you're continuing that journey that was started by Merry Pranksters. What year? That was like late 60s? Is it?
That was 1964, and that was the acid trip, I believe they were calling it. And that basically kicked off the entire hippie movement. And, of course, being a poet, being connected to all this, and I don't know if your readers are aware of this, but I am also the current U.S. National Beat Poet Laureate.
Well, yes. I wanted you to tell me. I didn't know there was a Beat Poet Laureate, and now I know there's a California Beat Poet Laureate. Is there like a community that makes that happen, or?
Yes, this is out of Connecticut. It's the National Beat Poetry Foundation, Inc., which was founded by Deborah Tucson Kilday, and every Labor Day weekend they announce 12 new laureates for the year. You'll have international laureates, you'll have lifetime, you'll have state laureates. And at the last one, I was named the U.S. National Beat Poet Laureate. At the same time, Ron Myers, who I believe lives up in Berkeley, he was named the California State Beat Poet Laureate. So we have different levels of representation for the organization. But what I decided when I was named the U.S. National Laureate was I was going to take this bus out across the country and do this huge tour connecting people around poetry and peace. And so that's what we've done. And now what I'm doing is I'm taking all of the footage, because I paired with my local television station back east, and I'm producing a television series, a poetry adventure, social justice poetry series called Endless Horizons. And it's already launched last Saturday in Haverhill. It's actually up in the web right now.
Oh, fantastic. So what I'd like to do is take about a 3-minute break, because I want people to go away not only planning to be there in person, but to find some links to follow you and the National Beat Museum and so on. So hold on, all right? And sure. I definitely want to hear, you mentioned the newer California, Mr. Mattinson, a newer California Beat Poet Laureate?
The California Beat Poet Laureate is Ron Myers.
Myers.
And I believe he lives in Berkeley as well.
Okay. Well, hold on, folks. And we'll be right back with Mark Lipman, the Beat Poet Laureate of the United States of America.
You're listening to Sonic Discovery with your host, James O. Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by The Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma.
This is going great.
SchoenGroup.com.
My problem.
This health moment is brought to you in part by Sonoma Valley Hospital.
It's not uncommon to develop aches and pains as we age. When the pain isn't acute, we often choose to live with it, which is not always the best idea. Most will go away naturally after a period of time, but some pains can become chronic if untreated. If you are experiencing persistent aches or pains, it's a good idea to have them checked by your physician.
When a cultivated, suave British master con artist teams up with a small-time American hustler, mayhem, money, and a woman. Complete this comedy about two con men trying to settle their rivalry by betting on who can swindle a young American heiress out of $50,000 first. The bet brings out the best and worst in the two, those dirty, rotten scoundrels. presented on stage at Andrews Hall at the Sonoma Community Center. Brought to you by the Sonoma Arts Live Theater Company, directed by Carl Jordan. Musical direction by Asia Gianola. That's Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, July 11th through July 27th. Tickets are on sale now at SonomaArtsLive.org, SonomaCommunityCenter.org.
And now back to James O. and Sonic Discovery.
Now, the previous DJs were saying how much they liked that gong. I just potted it down and got rid of it because, I'm not a drummer like the guys on Big Fish from 7 to 8. So we are here. I might end up making some birds sing in the background here. But again, it's a Sonic Discovery show. It's KSVY 91.3 FM. But you were probably listening on KSVY.org because we are a nonprofit community-based radio. And hey, just like Beat Poets, we're not in it for the money. We're in it for the love, and we're in it for the words and really the feelings, the beat feeling. Mark Lipman, you're here, and you got here by bus. Now, and you mentioned 7,000, 8,000 miles.
Over 8,000 miles at this point, yes.
And the bus has not broken down.
Well, we had a slight accident in Chicago, but everything got fixed up in a hurry, and we're holding steady.
That's great. That's great. So, you've got several thousand to go.
Yes, I figure I probably still have. At the end of the toll, I'll probably have another 7,000 miles because I need to make it back to the East Coast by crossing Canada. After Alaska, I'll be crossing Canada and going down through Quebec and Halifax and Montreal before I get back to the East Coast to make the full circle. So that's probably going to wind me up closer about 15,000 miles at the end.
Wow. Hey, there it's not just national, it's international. Is there do you have any connections in Canada? I mean, I'm thinking of like Toronto where, many people, Neil Young and I don't know, Joni Mitchell and Leonard Cohen and I mean, some of them are better known for musicians, you know.
It's funny you say that. I do have quite a few Canadian poet friends. But one that really stands out for me that I'm sure you're going to love this story is that I had a radio program myself for a couple of years when I was traveling to Europe, and on my program I had interviewed a poet from Toronto named Samuel Peralta, and Samuel runs the Lunar Codex, sending poetry and art and music and cultural basically time capsules up to the moon. And when I interviewed him last year, I said, hey, how does one get onto this time capsule? He goes, oh, well, the last mission's already set. By the time this goes on the air, I'll be too late. But if you are able to get me something in 2 weeks, I'll get you to the moon. So what I've done is I put together a lunar anthology with 129 poets. And we sent that off to the moon last February, and it landed March 6th. So that is one of my friends up in Canada who I will definitely be meeting once I go across.
Oh, that's great. And so who runs the Lunar Codex?
The poet's name is Samuel Peralta. He's a fantastic, he's a physicist and a poet.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's incredible. So he has a whole collection. I believe at this point it's 261 countries and territories that have sent poetry and art and stuff through Samuel up to the moon. And this stuff will be part of whatever lunar base that they create up there. It will be part of the database saved in perpetuity.
Oh, that's fantastic! Yeah. So, I mean, I knew that we have astronauts from many countries heading halfway there, or the upper atmosphere for that International Space Station. But what are they, like probes or like one way rockets?
They're landers. They're landers sending up equipment, doing tests of the lunar surface, and What happens is there's always a little bit of extra space on these capsules, and they'll sell that space to whoever wants to put something in. And Samuel made the arrangements, and he sent up, I think, 6 or 7 launches up into the moon and into outer space as well.
Fantastic. That's great. Yes. I mean, the word, the word.
Plug for him.
And for international and, in fact, interstellar communication. That's great. And, of course, on those, I guess they were called the explorers, the ones that sent music as well as words and even like Braille, the Voyagers. Thank you. Oh, that's just so great. I mean, that and they're always completely international efforts, and that's so important because they couldn't be as successful. They couldn't really, as you know, add to the human, you know, database, but more it's like, I think our depth of wisdom, if they were just, you know, one company, you know, Jet Propulsion Labs, you know, sending stuff up. But really it's an effort on so many, you know, psychological as well as
global community.
Yes, it really is. And again, speaking of community, I'd like you to give us another one of yours. Even as you mention a few of the names that will be coming on to the Beat Museum, there was a Persian or Iranian American.
Yes. Manaz Barahian will be there. She's a wonderful Iranian-American poet that I've been working with for, maybe 15 plus years now. Actually, I published one of her books about 5 years ago, Ask the Wind, and she will be there, as well as John Curl, Dee Allen, Greg Pond, Dorothy Payne, and I mentioned Matt Cedillo and Tongo Eyes and Martin as well. Oh, and also Paul Flores, who just won the American Book Award for his first book of poetry. So we have a wonderful, wonderful group of poets that are going to be joining us that night.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to be there. And I'm going to try to make it to the city. Let's see, tomorrow night, I actually might just stay in the city after work.
It'd be a pleasure to have you with us.
Okay.
And also, just to put a quick plug in, we're also going to be having another big event happening in Berkeley at the Art House on Sunday, July 20th from 1 to 7 p.m. So that's going to be an all day. We're going to be having, I forget all the names of the people that are going to be there, but there's going to be a huge community poetry party, and we're going to be bringing in poets and the bus there as well.
And that's the Berkeley, did you say iHouse?
The Art House.
Art House.
In Berkeley.
So that's
Art House on Shattuck.
Yeah, it didn't exist, I don't think, when I was there in the 80s.
I don't think I've been there either, but I will be there on the 20th.
Fantastic. And people can always go to your Facebook, Mark Lippman, and you've got everything that's happened and everything that will happen and a beautifully illustrated event announcements.
Thank you so much. And you can find anything you want about us on, if you Google Vagabond Poetry Caravan, you'll find my website. And I also want to give a big shout out to the New Jersey Poetry Renaissance with Damian Rucci, Alexander Ragsdale, and Jeremiah Walton from the New England Poetry Renaissance. These were my traveling companions across the country. They went all the way from New Jersey all the way to Los Angeles with me, and you're going to be seeing them more in my television series as new episodes come up, so I wanted to put a shout out to them as well.
Thank you. And before we wrap it up, I would love to hear another poem from you, from the Beat Poet Laureate of the United States, as you travel through not only on the roads, but through our minds and our airwaves.
It'd be a pleasure. And thank you again, James, for having me here this evening.
Absolutely.
The sons of another Whitman awake, would take the word, would take the song. There's no time now for sleeping till noon in your shuttered rooms. There's no time now as New York crumbles beneath our feet under the trampling of a nation of sheep. As Kabul is wiped off the map, as the Palestinian follows in the footsteps of the Native American, gone with the echoes of a thousand mothers' cries, everyone asking, why? Not for freedom, not for democracy, but for a new kingdom ruled by philanthropy. Yes, blood is thicker than water, but not as thick as oil. How many must still be killed to keep the drills alive? Where are the new Ginsburgs, the new Dillons, the voices of a new generation with their cut-up jeans and backpacks? Where are all the great minds of today? Still roaming their dark alleyways. Yes, Bill and Getty is still alive, but so too is Dick Cheney. The usurpers are still in the house, and all the voices remain silent. How many Kyotos must be rejected? How many Johannesburgs overruled by a party of one? How many rulers selected and promises broken before we stand up and speak out and take back what should be ours? Guaranteed by birth. Whitman's wild children are all alive and well. So put down your glasses and pick up your pens. Get on your buses, all going further. And let your voices be heard.
Mark Lipman, thank you so much. I want to hear more, but I'm going to actually have people come and hear you and the poets that you're gathering around you. The sound will be better because phone is great, but it's definitely slightly muffled. I want them to hear you clear as right through the air as opposed to the telecommunications. I just opened this book called Big Sky Mind, Buddhism and the Beat Generation, and I saw Lew Welch. And actually, I never met Lew Welch, but he was definitely a beat poet. He was plagued by demons as well as inspired by life and Buddhism. This poem, I don't know, it's not political, but it definitely deals with hardship. It's called Buddhist Bard Turns Rat Slayer. Kill, 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 shrieks Wordsmith. I cannot stand your scratch, your nervous skitter, twitch of nose poking through eave holes, scamper, stop scamper over rafters in dim light of kerosene. Can't sleep, and it just isn't cute anymore. Your walnuts, tinfoil, maple leaves, your shaving brush, you ran over my face. I don't know about dogs, but rats ain't got no Buddha natute nature. Die, die, and found one in my trap. Immaculate gray fur, white breast, white little paws, short tail, mountain sweet as everything else is here. All the others died by poison. The cabin, almost too quiet ever since. Oh my God, that's dealing with, yeah, the rat, you know, as a living thing, of course, it's just as sacred as your best friend, your mom, but as a pest in your house, oh my God. Anyway, this has been so much fun, and I think I'm going to bring up some nature songs, and once again, let's say it. Tomorrow night, the border crossed us.
At the Adobe Bookstore, 7 p.m., and that I'm looking up the address right now. I believe it's 3130, I might be wrong, 3130 24th Street.
That's it. Fantastic. And that'll be tomorrow evening, and then an even sort of bigger venue, the Beat Museum. It's not much bigger than a bookstore, honestly. So, yeah, folks, come early, and so you don't end up standing at out on the sidewalk. But that is Friday, July 18th, and it's, again, at 7 o'clock?
Yes, exactly.
And the Beat Museum is right on Broadway, about a half block from Columbus. You know, the thick of things.
Yep.
You don't actually need the address because it's Broadway in Columbus, and look for the Beat Museum. You can't miss it. Yes. You just mentioned a third event that's coming on the 20th.
The 20th at the Art House in Berkeley, and that's on Shattuck. I don't have the exact number, but that's on the Art House on Shattuck in Berkeley.
That's great.
And that starts at 1 o'clock. We'll be going on with the poets at 2. So make sure you're there early to hear the guest poets that I'm bringing in for that. I'll be there with the bus as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. So there will be some poets before you that you haven't met. So it'll be like...
Yes. We're doing this with some local poets as well. So this is one of the things that I love to do is connect with the local community poets. This is how we connect. So this bus is no longer just a tour vehicle. It's a catalyst to connect all of our poetry communities around the country.
Absolutely. And one more time, mention the film or the visual connection.
The television series, yes. It's called Endless Horizons, and that's with HC Media, actually in Haverhill, Massachusetts, but it's streamed on the web around the world. It's Endless Horizons, and it's a poetry adventure social justice television series we just launched last Saturday. I'm working on the second episode right now, and I'm going to be having at least a dozen episodes from this first leg of the tour to be produced for television.
Amazing. And that first episode can be found on more than one streaming platform, as they say?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And if you go again to my website, vagabondpoetrycaravan.blogspot.com, you will find it under the tab Endless Horizons, and you can watch it right on my website.
All right. Well, thanks once again. I'm going to be letting the musical nature overtake us, and then maybe a little jazz, because that's one of the inspirations for beat poetry, a little Thelonious Monk. So everyone just speak up and chill out. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you, Jazz.
We'll be in touch. Thelonious Monk, straight, no chaser. And that's the way we take our beat poetry as well. Maybe we do some sips of wine. I did hear our host and master DJ earlier mentioning coming to the farmer's market and coming to KSVY and having a few sips of wine. So nothing is forbidden, and that's the anarchist dictum. Yes, there are definitely rules of decorum, but every rule is just a guidance. The main rule is no rules. So, yes, I should give a little credit as well to Bernie Krause and Wild Sanctuary, his wonderful website that where you can buy his music, find out more about nature recordings from the premier recorder and compiler of bioacoustic niches, a bioacoustician, that'd be Bernie Krause, who once lived in Glen Ellen until some big fires in 2017. Oh, and speaking of streaming great films, yes, Endless Horizons with Mark Lipman and the Vagabond Caravan, Vagabond Poetry Caravan leads to his website. And then there's The Last of the Nightingales, which is a beautiful poem, a beautiful film about the whole process of studying the natural world through its sounds. And it's on YouTube, so check it out. And I am going to have to let you go for about 2 minutes. But you're still in Sonoma, in the Valley of the Moon, and it is still the Voices of the Valley, including me, James O, and it is Sonic Discovery on KSVY.
You're listening to Sonic Discovery with your host, James O.
Back with more music and poems.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by The Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma. SchoenGroup.com. This health moment is brought to you in part by Sonoma Valley Hospital.
Restful sleep has many health benefits. It helps learning and memory and reduces risk for most chronic disease and obesity. Most adults acquire 7 to 9 hours of sleep regardless of age. Things that help us sleep better at night include exercise during the day, but not just before bed. Having a calm, dark bedroom with clean, comfortable bedding and learning to relax and let go of the stress each evening. We'll sleep better if we don't eat 2 to 3 hours before bedtime, avoid caffeine later in the day, as well as alcohol and tobacco.
Hey, you hear what's playing at the Sonoma International Film Festival for July?
I hear it's a thriller about a jockey who gets in trouble with the mob in Argentina. When a horse race goes wrong, you know, he vanishes. And it starts a surreal manhunt for him in the underworld of Buenos Aires. It's called Kill the Jockey.
No, they have an underworld in Buenos Aires?
Yeah, and the film pulls you right into it. It's wild, sexy, soulful, and highly entertaining. It was even submitted for the Oscars.
I'm on the website, SonomaFilmFest.org, getting tickets. Says it's playing Tuesday, July 15th at the Sebastiani in Sonoma. They have a wine reception at 6:15 and a showtime at 7.
Hey, how do you say forget about it in Argentinian anyway?
Kill the Jockey, showing Tuesday, July 15th at 7 p.m. with a wine reception at 6:15 at the Sebastiani Theater. Tickets are available now at SonomaFilmFest.org.
And now back to James O. and Sonic Discovery.
Your witness. My heart, well, it's tender to the touch, and haven't I already seen far too much? Just when I thought I might be out of danger, to again see that face and hear, hello, stranger. And wasn't I supposed to need you, though I'd stared into your eyes long enough? Did the dirty deed or two, but didn't you play just a little too rough? I remember those nights when it all seemed so clear. I tried to stay away, but still ended up here. Back at the scene of the crime, guess I had to see it just one more time. So I'll be your witness. Just give me a sign. Yes, I'll be your witness. And we'll be our crimes. Oh, a few lyrics from my good buddy and musician, poet, writer, Steve Malone. Thanks, Steve, for handing me the kind that the pharaohs try. So that's a short chapbook with song lyrics by Stephen Malone and short prose by Michael D. Malone. That would be a brother duo writing opposite ends of the state, but coming together in words and actually in a great somewhat sci-fi novel called The Shroud, which I do not have time to read you, but I do highly recommend The Shroud. I was around when it got published because I've known Steve here in Sonoma Valley for well over a decade, and it's about a decade ago, I want to say. but I shouldn't say. Whenever I say, oh, 10 years, it's probably actually 20. Somewhere in the 2000s, okay? And I have about 10 more minutes to, say a few things. And one of them is, here's another poet, but best known for her singing. So how about it, folks? You and me, we are the people. Brief Wyoming meditation. I read Sand Creek Massacre. White antelope's scrotum became tobacco pouch for Colorado volunteer. I see destitute prairie, short spiny grass and dusty wind, and all for beef too expensive to eat. I remember at least 2/3 of you voted for Madman Nixon. We're glad to bomb the gooks in their steamy jungle. And I seek the place where your nature meets mine, the place where we touch. Nothing lasts long, nothing but earth and the mountains. Tom Robinson Band. That was a remix. But the remix probably happened around 2000 or something. And Power in the Darkness, which he originally put out from England in about, I want to say about 75 or something. Maybe 80. But it was more likely late 70s. And I'd also found Diane De Prima, a San Francisco or Berkeley or... you know, just a Bay Area poet through and through. And I think, she was considered a beat poet sometimes. She was Diane De Prima. She only did her own style, her own recognizable. I think I saw her on the street once reading poetry. Brief Wyoming Meditation was her poem. I actually excerpted a song from Steve Malone. What was the band with Steve and Mike? I've forgotten. Anyway, Your Witness was the a little bit of poetry that became a song. And also, People Have the Power, and that would be Patti Smith. I think her band was sometimes called Horses. Crazy Horse? No, that's Neil Young. Anyway, the Patti Smith band. Good stuff. I can't touch the mic, but I can remain standing for another 5 minutes. And let's see. I was trying to get something going with my laptop, and it didn't happen. There was a little Iggy Pop in the background, but that's not what I'm looking for. Back to CD. Yeah. Thelonious. A little bit more Thelonious while I decide my last coup de grace. Oh, yes. I'm going to finish off with Jane Hirschfield because I think she's too young to be consider herself a beat poet, but she's a poet of the world. This is Solstice. The earth today tilts one way, then another. And yes, though all things change, this night again we'll watch its fireflies, then go into a bed with sheets to lights a beloved. To running water, cold and hot. Take nothing for granted, you who were also opulent, a stung cosmos. Birds sang, frogs sang, they're sufficient unto the late night rain bringing thunder. And if days grew ordinarily shorter, the dark's mirror lengthened, and one's gain was not the other lessened. Thank you for being with me, folks, and listening to me and Mark and all these voices. And, you can find me on Facebook, James Osborne, the only one in Sonoma. And I call myself James O, because actually around the world there's hundreds of us. There's only one James O, but hundreds of James Osbornes. It's like John Smith, you know. But I love it. And I also love leaving you with the one and only Leonard Cohen. And we actually only have a few seconds for this. Enjoy.
The war was lost, the treaty signed, I was not cut. Across the line, I was not caught, though many tried. I live among you, well disguised. I had to leave my life behind. I dug some graves you'll never find. The stories told with facts and lies. I had a name, but never mind. Never mind. Never mind, the war was lost, the treaty signed, there's truth that lives.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by
The Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma. The Schoen Group is affiliated with Sotheby's International Realty. Our goal is to be your realtor consultants and representative for many generations to come. For information and guidance regarding wine country real estate, you may contact us at 707-933-1515 or visit schoengroup.com.
Sunday Fun Day is a playful, family-friendly program designed for kids of all ages to explore the beauty of Sonoma Botanical Garden and connect with nature. This year, Sunday Fun Day coincides with the garden's newest exhibit, Winged Wonders, a fantastical flock of giant bamboo birds placed throughout the garden. In celebration of these feathered friends, the monthly festival-like program will feature live bird presentations by the Bird Rescue Center of Sonoma County and family birding walks. In addition to face painting, arts and crafts with Artscape's Art Van Gogh, family yoga with Sonoma Yoga, lawn games, and more. Sunday Fun Day is free for members and included with admission. This is a drop-in program. No advanced registration is required. Just come on and have some fun. For more information, please visit sonomabg.org.